Portugal at all. And that movement in Argentina, which Vivas are part of it, grow also as much as Camille was speaking on the interview. So this is why it's very important to understand that this is our bodies, but we wanted to locate it in Champs de Posil because we have to take care, and it's part of the ecofeminism. It's like there should be a parallel of the relationship that we have with nature, and sometimes we kind of forgot that it's also a peer-to-peer conversation. And we found that this, there is so many kinds of feminisms. There is not only one single feminism, but ecofeminism is resonating so much with collage feminicides more, and they are like big campaigning. For us, this metaphor of this is our body, this is our body, and this is our body was kind of like a very important link to make in the space. We don't know how long this is going to last, but we want to also create that connection within the space. And yeah, let's keep walking.
C'est vrai que ça a été comme tellement journée marquante parce que à travers tout ça, ben le lendemain on est retourné parce qu'on le fait tout le jour avant. Puis le jour après on est retourné, puis il y avait du monde qui venait, des passants qui venaient se recueillir. Puis au Québec, c'était un événement où tellement de gens ont des liens avec des gens qui ont été à la Polytechnique ou qui connaissaient des victimes. Tu sais, le Québec c'est assez petit pour que tout le monde ait son histoire de lien. Fait que je pense que tout le monde est touché vraiment vivement par rapport à ça. Donc il y a vraiment eu un bel impact sur cette action-là, puis un grand sentiment aussi pour nous, je pense, d'avoir fait la bonne chose, puis d'avoir fait une action qui était tellement respectueuse et bienveillante avec toutes les personnes impliquées dans ce trajet.
She's just telling the story of an action that was done in commemoration of the Polytechnic massacre of 1989, and I didn't hear the whole loop, but she was talking about how important it was for them as a collective to work on this commemoration, that it happened to be an extremely cold day, and 14 women were involved in the commemoration and braving the elements. It was very, I think, sounds like it was a real turning point in the evolution of their collective.
Ça générait et ça génère encore beaucoup de colère en moi. C'est pas, je veux dire, c'est pas le féminisme qui génère de la colère, là, mais c'est comme contre le féminisme, je trouve qu'il y a comme un... C'est difficile de pas être en colère quotidiennement. Puis cette colère-là, elle peut être vraiment constructive, puis t'amener à faire des choses proactives et tout ça. Mais cette colère-là, quand elle atteint une certaine intensité, elle peut aussi être... Et pour moi, c'était difficile d'être dans l'action sans tomber dans un niveau de colère qui n'était pas sain pour mon bien-être. De faire face quotidiennement à des injustices juridiques, personnelles, tu sais, dans les médias, dans la sphère privée, tu sais, tout ça, ça générait vraiment beaucoup de colère en moi. Ça le fait encore, mais les colères... sont maintenant pour moi une manière d'exprimer cette colère-là en ayant énormément de plaisir. C'est comme ça, il y a une communauté, il y a une gang, il y a tout cet esprit d'équipe-là, puis en même temps il y a quelque chose de tellement comme motivant, puis de l'adrénaline aussi quand on fait le collage, puis les soirées, toutes les réflexions en amont, puis tout ça, c'est comme si ça avait transformé la charge qui pouvait me faire du mal en charge qui, j'ai l'impression, me donne un élan de vie. Mais comme Gabriel dit,
so in this clip, he's talking about the role of rage and the effect that rage can have on one's mental health. She started by saying that it's not always easy to be feminist because it's not always great for your mental health because of the presence of rage. And of course, that rage doesn't come from the feminism. The feminism is something that alerts you and forces you to not be able to ignore that rage. And often she found in her interventions with the group that what being targeted by the media and being like having to deal with the responses were also contributing to this rage, but ultimately the collages are a positive act, a very healing act that for her have helped her succeed in transforming the negative charge of rage into a positive charge of pleasure. I think she used the word like delight or pleasure. So the pleasure also of working together and working in collective.
And we actually glued two phrases in these pictures that spoke about that. And it says something about, yeah, that relationship of rage, like we speak together to get out the rage. Unfortunately, by day one, it was gone. They took it out, and then this other one too, they took it out. So, and that speaks to us, the disruption in the space, but most importantly, how they are, like the effect it has into the people who read them. It might be because these benches are part of this private property, but also we understand that private property is like a fragile line of how and the long extent, you know, it's like a very important question to do. So I would like to invite you next time when you see a collage to think about those kind of like dimensions and also where they are located and when they are like totally dismembered, like why? Who gets affected by those positive messages and then, right? Or these messages of empowerment.
L'activisme a toujours été comme un moteur, mais en même temps, parfois, comme c'est difficile d'être féministe pour la santé mentale. Parfois, comme on dirait que ça générait et ça génère encore beaucoup de colère.
Queer people feel better at the end of the day. Like, we have to, as people who think about feminism and who think about gender studies, to really like put it out in the streets. And I think that's for me what makes sense of all those theories that I read. And some of them I find are not pragmatic enough or not. Comme avoir tous ces débats-là, je pense que ça va être encore plus riche, mais déjà, même sans cette présence-là, réussir à avoir des débats super riches, quand on utilise une plateforme de communication qui va nous dire plusieurs conversations thématiques, puis il y a une conversation qui est typique, si tu veux, puis une autre conversation qui est statistique et information. On voit comme un article ou un événement qu'on partage en statistique et information. C'est souvent de là que l'expérience personnelle.
I'm not sure if it's able to. You are able to hear
the.
Oh yeah. People hear okay.
expliquer pourquoi. Est-ce que c'est parce que tu trouves que le slogan est juste mal formulé, ou bien tu n'es pas d'accord avec les propos? Puis si c'est ça, comme souvent, ça engendre des discussions super intéressantes de parler. Ah, ben, moi, en tant que dans notre cercle féministe, je vois ce que tu veux dire, mais en même temps, cette formulation-là, ça peut porter à confusion.
She's talking now about their organizing practices, and most of it happens via encrypted communications channels. So they're using a variety of discussion channels. Some of them are devoted to ideas for slogans, and some are a place to assemble facts and statistics. And the interaction of these two is very important because it helps them to, it's a sort of a praxis basically of like turning theory into action and debates about the exact wording of slogans can be informed by the actual experience, but then that can turn into a conversation of, you know, I agree with you on the principle, but the formulation should be this because it could lead to confusion or whatnot. So, yeah, that was mostly what was being talked about there.
Parce qu'on a tous des blind spots dans le féminisme aussi, des fois dans la façon de formuler les choses, aller au front contre ce système-là. Et puis, quand le système nous respectera, ben, on pourra ouvrir le dialogue et penser à des moyens de le respecter en retour. Mais donc, pour moi, il y a quelque chose dans la symbolique du lieu. Puis le fait aussi que parce qu'on pourrait faire quelque chose dans les rues qui n'est pas illégal, tu sais, on pourrait comme reprendre possession des rues de façon légale.
Friends and yes, and this is very important, and that's why we selected this, because now you will hear actually a track by Vivas, and they will say "Por favor no nos maten," which means "Please don't kill us," which is one part of the big slogan that is part of the "Ni una menos," which is a global movement now. But it's like how women have been, fighting against making visible feminicides around the world. In Latin America, 12 women are killed every hour. And in that, I think those numbers are going up and up, unfortunately. And Veronica Gago is one feminist leading the Ni Una Menos in one of the slogans that not only them, but feminists from Poland acquire, and it was very, very strong, is solidarity is our weapon. And so you will hear now in the next one a collective action where women actually were reenacting this, not the slogan, but a poem that it's called "Por favor no nos maten." And it's this.
Que tranquila, de a poco. Este golpe, todo es un proceso, un atravesar, acostumbrarme, inculcarme buenos hábitos, sanar de mente. Golpean a miles de mujeres en una habitación, fueron individuas que solo ansían tener segura libertad de sus vientres. Mujeres que
So they were saying there is a lot of women dying, only trying to work, only trying to get by. Cousins, sisters, mothers, all of them are dying. So it's basically a poem that goes on and on, and it was created during the marches, the 8M marches. And the interesting thing of how Vivas work, that they do a lot of workshops on voice and body, which is approaching performance through that perspective. And they do have the poem, and then 20 women repeat the same words at the same time. So echoing those words are important, part of the a technique or methodology of embodying and sounding out together those thoughts. In a way, for me, that was kind of like an idea to make it in this way, like sounding out with different speakers those words. I was inspired by that methodology that they have.
Muérdeme un cuchillo que entra y sale de un cadáver 307 veces. Muertes por dosis mal calculadas. Muertes de hambre.
Des langues, mais vraiment. Je fais confiance à la tête.
Travail qu'on fait d'avoir cet équilibre-là entre les actions militantes qui sont comme. D'une part très politique, le social qui est attaché à notre collectif dans nos relations, dans le fait de créer un safe space, dans le fait qu'il n'y a pas de hiérarchie, que ce soit horizontal, dans toutes les décisions qu'on prend. Et évidemment, l'aspect aussi artistique et esthétique qui est important pour nous, puis qui est comme notre esthétique, on a un souci de ça, on a un souci que ça soit beau, que ça soit, que ça représente ce qu'on. Le message qu'on veut passer, en fait. Donc, je pense que cette équipe-là, il est tout le temps à aussi renouveler. Puis, je pense qu'il a changé dans la dernière année selon la température, selon nos moods, selon tellement de choses. Puis, je pense que c'est ça aussi qui fait que ce collectif-là est fertile, c'est qu'il se renouvelle tout le temps. Ce travail qu'on fait d'avoir cet équilibre-là entre. Les actions militantes qui sont comme.
Yeah, so I might not have completely got it, but what I did get was balancing activism and aesthetics, and sort of the relative sort of weight of the political motivation for the work. Versus the visual results, and that is that balance is constantly evolving, depending on the weather and depending on people's moods and depending on internal conversations within the collective. And that she thinks that kind of ongoing discussion is one of the things that enriches the collective as a whole.
Yeah. Le social qui est attaché à notre collectif, dans nos relations, dans le fait de créer un safe space, dans le fait qu'il n'y a pas de hiérarchie, que ce soit horizontal, dans toutes les décisions qu'on prend. Et évidemment, l'aspect aussi artistique et esthétique qui est important pour nous, puis qui est comme notre esthétique, on a un souci de ça, on a un souci que ça soit beau, que ça soit, que ça représente le message qu'on veut passer, en fait. Donc, je pense que cette équipe-là, il est tout le temps à aussi renouveler. Puis, je pense que il a changé dans la dernière année.
On est ouverte aussi à faire des initiatives plus personnelles de
préparer, selon la température, selon nos moods, selon tellement de choses. Puis, je pense
que et parfois, c'est
ça aussi qui fait que ce collectif-là est fertile, c'est qu'il se renouvelle tout le temps.
Travail qu'on fait
d'avoir cet équilibre-là entre les actions militantes qui sont comme d'une part très politique, mais le social qui est attaché à notre collectif dans nos relations, dans le fait de créer un safe space, dans le fait qu'il n'y a pas de hiérarchie, que ce soit horizontal, dans toutes les décisions.
Because that's where we're on. I can't speak about the old country. But they have their own culture there, their own language there, their own, all of that. But here, in North, Central, and South America, it's all one common denominator of thinking and understanding. That this earth is our mother, that she's sacred, that she has feelings. We cannot just cut and destroy because we think that we're going to have money at the end of the day. Because if we continue on the trajectory that we are on, well, we just have to go on Google and global warming and climate change, and you can see where we're heading. fall, even though it may look bleak, the thing is we still have each other. And if enough of us buy into the idea that we can make the change, make the change. So with that, I offer you all peace, love, friendship, brotherhood. Let's try to work together now to make it better. Well, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Seth, I hope that as you're listening, some of the things that I discussed was something that you were able to resonate with that made you feel good. And as I said, I acknowledge your grandma, who is now part of the sacred ancestral realm. So thank you. So that's my part. I don't know what's next.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Son and Pierre. For coming up here and talking to us. Really appreciate it, and a really amazing opening to Calling Planet Earth. Seth Cardinal Dodging Horse is about to start from Treaty 7 territory. He'll be on the radio in just a moment or two.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, mic check. 1, 2, 3. Awesome. This feels a little strange because I'm sitting in my living room at my house with my two cats. So I'm like imagining that there's some people out there. Feels a little like I'm speaking into the void, but I'll just say a couple words about the performance. Thank you, Martine and Manuel, and sorry if I'm saying anyone's names wrong. Big shout out to the Undefined Radio folks, and those of you that are involved in helping my performance, as well as all of the other artists. It's pretty tired. I've had a pretty long week, and I also wanted to say thank you to the elder Kevin. I heard a little bit over the phone what you're saying, and I want to thank you for your words. I'm sure one day we'll all be able to hang out in person. Yeah. I know it's been a wild time with the pandemic and everything, but I'll just say a few words about my performance and everything. I know there was some technical glitches and issues and stuff, but kind of this week, I had another idea for this performance planned, and then everything kind of fell apart last Monday, because my grandma ended up going into the hospital, and then I feel very fortunate that I was able to be there with her, next to her, as she passed away over the next few days, and she ended up passing away on Wednesday, and my family just had the funeral yesterday, and in between helping my family out with things, I've just been sitting in my living room. I kind of have a music room, but my house is so messy right now, I just ended up moving everything into my living room, and moved some of my music equipment up there, and just been sitting here and just kind of strumming my guitar and trying to come up with ideas. I kind of tried playing around with like microphones and field recordings and stuff, and then ended up just sitting there with my guitar and playing a couple chords and zoning out, and that was really nice. I kind of got a break from everything, and so kind of what I played tonight was some of those chords that I was playing. I've like noticed throughout any time in my life, I'll sit down with one of my guitars, and then I'll just sit there and strum and kind of zone out, and eventually I'll kind of settle on like one or two chords that I find very soothing, and it feels really nice to feel them vibrate through the guitar on your chest. I find it really relaxing, and ended up being these two or three chords that I kind of played around with tonight, and I was just kind of thinking, you know, I'm kind of a perfectionist, and I end up trying to come up with really elaborate ideas, and sometimes I end up doing that and then having to scale back quite a lot, and so just thought, you know, I'll just play through my guitar, I'll play these chords, and I'll just find a way to relax and play something, and it's kind of funny that there was sound cutting out through the performance. It kind of reminded me of the wake before the funeral. My family got to see the body, and we got to spend the night with her, and there was like a family jamboree kind of there, and I don't know if any of you have been to any First Nations funerals, but they're you know, as sad as they are, they're really nice, because you get to see family you haven't seen in a while, and especially with the pandemic, that's harder, but they had kind of a little jamboree there, and there was so many sound issues, and my house is across the hall where they had the wake with the body, and I was running back and forth between my house grabbing microphones because people didn't bring microphones, and grabbing bass guitars and electric guitars because people didn't bring instruments and they wanted to play some tribute songs for her. So I feel like it was very fitting that the sound cut out. It's kind of like the continuation and extension of that, and I think, like, you know, where she is now, she would be laughing and smiling at that, because that is very much kind of what goes down with my family and everything. There's a lot of technical issues in all aspects of our lives, but we try to make the best of it and laugh at it, and, you know, it's memories to look back at fondly. But thank you to everyone who's there. I don't know how many people are there or who's still there, but to whoever is still out there, thank you so much for coming to this and for listening and getting a chance to spend time with me and my grandma. It's she moves on to the next part of life. So thank you. I'm gonna let the folks over there take over. Sign off. Thank you.
Thanks, Seth. I don't know if you can hear me through Zoom, but thank you for your performance. I think one of the things that we were trying to play around with this series was this idea of presence. So I really felt that tonight, even with all the technical issues, and especially now that Seth leads us into a little bit of his personal life and what happened with his mother, grandmother, that we have a sense of presence that kind of came from this performance that we were unaware of. And I wanted to just thank everyone for coming and being present as a part of this like experiment.
The following is a previously broadcast program.